Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sudha Goswami said, when the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parashar in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of Vasu. Purport. There is a chronological order of the four millenniums, namely Satya, Dwapar, Treta and Kali, but sometimes there is overlapping. During the regime of Vaivasvat Manu, there was an overlapping of the 28th round of the four millenniums, and the third millennium appeared prior to the second. In that particular millennium, Lord Sri Krishna also descends. And because of this, there was some particular alteration. The mother of the great sage was Satyavati, the daughter of the Vasu fisherman, and the father was the great Parashar Muni. That is the history of Vyasadeva's birth. Every millennium is divided into three periods, and each period is called a Sandhya. Vyasadeva appeared in the third Sandhya of the particular age. Om Adnyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraho Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Ganchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasvadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to beg the blessings of all the wonderful devotees of Bhaktivedanta Manor. Today was Bhakti Jara Maharaj's class. It was scheduled. So if you all are disappointed to see me here, I'm sorry. So I'm very grateful to the management and Nandan Prabhu and Praveen Prabhu and all the brahmacharis for giving me this opportunity to come here and experience the wonderful devotional culture and atmosphere here in London. It is the first time that I ever got out of my country. So I'm quite nervous to speak to all of you because I don't know, you know, what you all are accustomed to listening, what your preferences are and everything else. So if I make a mistake, please forgive me. So today we are on the first canto, the appearance of Vedavyas. So there is a very wonderful verse in the Padma Puran. You know, it is said, Namami Devam Karuna Nidhanam Tamala Varnam Suhitavataram Apara Samsara Samudra Setum Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. Namami Devam Karuna Nidhanam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Karuna Nidhan, an ocean of mercy, Tamala Varanam Suhitavataram. His color is like the color of a black tamal tree, like you see in Mayapur. Apara Samsara Samudra Setum. And I accept you as a bridge to cross over this insurmountable ocean of material existence. Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. So, the Supreme Lord who has appeared in this age of Kali Yuga as Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is non-different. Prabhupada said that if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you immediately realize God. So, we are on the first and the second canto of Srimad. First and the second canto are actually supposed to be the lotus feet of the Lord. Again, the actually verse goes that Padau Yadiyo Prathamadvitiyo Tritiya Turiyo Kathithau Yaduru Nabhistataha Panchame Vashashtho Bhujantaro Dvaryugalo Tathaniyo. So, Padau Yadiyo Prathamadvitiyo. Padau means the lotus feet. Prathama and Dvitiya means the first and the second canto. So, the first and the second canto represents the two lotus feet of the Lord. Tritiya Turiyau Kathitau Yaduru. Third and the fourth represents the thighs, the two thighs of the Lord. Tritiya Turiyau Kathitau Yaduru Nabhistatha Panchamaya Vashashthau. And the navel and the chest of the Lord is the fifth and the sixth canto. The seventh and the eighth canto are the two arms of the Lord. The ninth canto, Kantasturajan Navamo Yadiyo. The ninth canto is the lotus neck of the Lord. Then the lotus face of the Lord is the tenth canto. 11th is the forehead, and the head of the Lord is, lotus head of the Lord is compared to the 12th canto. So in that sense, if you see, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is actually non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body. And the architect, the Shilpakar, one who has actually sculpted the form of the Lord in the form of the letters of Srimad Bhagavatam, is Vedavyas. So we can make deities of the Lord out of metal. You can make deities of the Lord out of wood. You can paint the Lord's form, and they're all bona fide. You can have shalagram. So Vedavyas has a very unique way of presenting the Lord, or, you know, carving out the form of the Lord in the form of the words, the syllables of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, the lotus feet, we are beginning here. So Suta Goswami said, so this is a response to the question asked by Shaunakadi Rishi in the same chapter, third text, where he's asking Suta Goswami, in what period and at what place was this first begun, and why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? So in response to this question, this is the answer. Okay. When the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parashar. So generally, the sequence of yugas is Satyuga, Dwapara, Treta, and Kaliyuga. But in the 28th millennium of the Vaivasvat Manu, it was exchanged. There was an overlap. That means the Treta Yuga came first and then the Dwapara Yuga. That's what it is explained. So when that happened, then Veda Vyas appeared, and also Lord Sri Krishna appeared, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So we are in that particular millennium. So this description is of the current Veda Vyas and all the current incarnations of Lord Sri Krishna. So of course this is a little technical here, and I generally don't speak out of context. I generally try to stick to the purport. So it's, I don't know if you're going to go to, if it may put you to sleep, but we have to go through the, you know, little calculations here. So, you know, what is the 28th millennium? So there are, Brahma's day consists of 1,000 Chaturyugas, 1,000 combinations of the Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali Yuga, 1,000 of them. And it is explained that in a, that is the 12 hours of Brahma. And in that 12 hours, there are 14 Manvantaras, Manus, or the father of mankind. The word man comes from this Manu, Sanskrit word. So there are 14 of them. So how much are you left with for each Manvantar when you divide 1,000 cycles of Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali divided by 14? How much are you left with? So you come with a figure of 71. 71? So correct me please if I make a mistake. So is it not? So 71. So 1,000 divided by 14 comes up with 71. So 71 into the combination. So that is how much? 4,32,000 years is Kali Yuga. Double that is 8,64,000. You use lakhs or millions here? What do you say? Lakhs? Yeah? Anything? Okay. So 8,64,000. Then double is 12,96,000. 17,28,000 combined, and it's 4.32 million. Yes. So that you multiply by 1,000, you get the period. How much is that? 4.32 billion. Yeah. So that's the 12 hours of Brahma. So that you divide it by, you calculate how much is the age of one Manvantar, you'll get 307 million years. That's the age of one Manvantar. Okay. So the seventh Manvantar is Vaivasvata Manvantar. Vaivasvata. And out of that 71 of the Manvantar, of the yuga cycles of that particular Manvantar, we are in the Vaivasvata Manvantar. The 28th cycle, we are in the 28th cycle when this thing happened and Vedavyas was born. So that's the idea. So modern science believes that the time is linear. See, but in our Vedic text it is said the time is cyclical. Just as you have the days of the week, it's like Sunday, Monday, and then again you have a Sunday. So just like that, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali, and then again you have the Satyug. So that is the chronological order of the four millenniums. And Vyasadeva was born to Parashar in the womb of Satyavati. So Vyasa, his full name, he's referred to as Krishna Dvaipayana Veda Vyas. So why Krishna? Because he's having a black complexion. Dvaipayana, because he was born on an island. So you know the story that Vedavyasa's mother was Satyavati. And she was born in a very unique way. She was born out of a fish, as it is explained. And she was retrieved and she was adopted by a fisherman. And her father would ferry the people to cross the Ganges. So that was the service of the father. So even the daughter, Satyavati, would do the same thing. So one day, Parashar Muni happened to come there. And Satyavati happened to ferry him across. And on the way, Parashar Muni he realized by divine vision that it was time for a great personality to appear and perform unparalleled service to humanity. So Parashar proposed to Satyavati that would you like to be the instrument for bringing forth a child who can do this wonderful service. So Satyavati was hesitant, and she said that we're not married. You know, it's not ethical. The child will be illegitimate. So Parashar promised her, saying that I am not an ordinary person. I'm a divine rishi, and I will ensure that you will maintain your virginity despite you having given birth to a child. So Satyavati agreed, and Vyasadeva was born out of that. So it happened in an island. So while they were crossing the Ganges, there was an island where this happened. And by Parashar's potency, it was covered by smog, and people couldn't see. You know, so it was like private affair. And so Parashar blessed Satyavati at that time, that I bless you, because she had a typical body odor. She used to smell of fish, you know. So Vedavyas, Parashar actually blessed her that from today onwards, I bless you that you will be smelling of musk, and that will be. And we see that further on, because of that fragrance from her body, Shantanu became attracted and proposed her for marriage, and Bhishma and all that. Mahabharata begins like that. So that is the idea where we see Vedavyas in one sense. If you see, somebody asked, I remember when I was in Girgaon Chopati, that there was somebody who asked, so there was a discussion, somebody asked a sannyasi, that how is that Vedavyas is an illegitimate son of, you know, in that sense, they were not even married. So how can we take his work seriously? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, he's given all the Dharma Shastras, and he himself is like this, an illegitimate son in one sense. But actually, then the reply was that we can understand by his activity that he was not an ordinary person. Not an ordinary person. I mean, the number of books that he has written, we need to write another book to, you know, make a list of all the books that he has written. So certainly a person's activities are higher than the birth. And we cannot imitate it. It's not to be imitated. We should not imitate great souls. That's the message that Srimad Bhagavatam gives. I heard a story, some devotee was saying that once Shankaracharya was going along with his disciples. And they had gone for a long distance. And because they were sadhus, they did not have anything, you know, for breakfast, or they had not packed any lunch. So they were very hungry, and they come across a pond or a river or something. And all the devotees were wondering, all the followers of Shankaracharya were wondering, what are we going to eat? You know, it's like we are so hungry and there's no arrangement for any food. So Shankaracharya looked at them and looked into the pond, and he saw a fish. So he caught a fish, opened his mouth, and popped it into his mouth. And all the disciples are wondering, my God, what is this? What's going on? Maharaj eat fish. If he can do it, we can also do it. Yeah. So they all caught a fish and popped it into their mouth, and they were happy. Hunger is satisfied. So then again they walked further, and they were discussing how could Maharaj do that. But anyway, if he has done it, we'll follow him, because ultimately he's Acharya. So then eventually they come across some place where there were some Brahmins, and they invited Shankaracharya and his followers for food at their home. So Shankaracharya, all of them accepted. So Shankaracharya said, wait, I'll just come back. I'll just go for my bath in the holy river, and I'll come back. So all of them went to take a bath. And Shankaracharya opened his mouth, and he took out the fish which he had eaten previously and put it in the river. And the fish was living. Yeah, it was not dead. And all the disciples were amazed to see, my God, we can't do that. We know how to eat. We don't know how to take out a live fish out of the mouth. So the message is that we should not imitate great souls. And here we can see a unique such case, that Vedavyas was born in unique circumstances And so therefore, Krishna Dvaipayana, he was born in an island, so therefore it is Dvaipayana. And Veda, Vyasa, Vyasa means one who divides. So he divided the original one Ved into four. So Shankaracharya, he says in his commentary to Brahma Sutra, I was just doing my research, and it is said that this Veda Vyasa was actually an incarnation of a rishi known as Apantara Tamas. And he was born, he was a great rishi, and he was born out of the chanting of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu chanted this word Bhu, and he appeared from there. And he was a great self-realized soul, and he was a knower of past, present, and future. And the Lord instructed him that you should study, you should divide the Vedas and should do that service. So this great Maharishi was born as Vedavyas. That way. So we can see that his work is enormous, the work that he did of writing so many Vedic literatures. He's one of the different rishis, you know, who have given the philosophy. Prabhupada said, you know, that all the philosophies that we have in Vedic culture is like, he said something like, I think the Western, there's one thing common with the Western philosophy and the Indian technology. Yeah, he said one thing common between the Western philosophy and Indian technology, that they both don't work. So we really, I mean, the philosophy that is there in the Vedic literature is phenomenal. And you see that there are other rishis also, like Jaimini Rishi, who gave the Mimamsa philosophy. We see that there is Gautam Rishi, who gave Nyaya philosophy. Kanad, who gave the Vaisheshika. Then there is Kapil, who gave the Sankhya. And there's one more, which I don't remember. Somebody knows who are the other rishis. The six major rishis who gave the philosophies. And Vedavyasa is the sixth, who gave the Brahma Sutras. So we are following, we are that followers of this Acharya, Maharishi Vedavyasa. So he is the literary incarnation of the Lord, Shaktyavesh Avatar, who, otherwise it's not possible for anyone to write so many Vedic literatures. And there is a place in Badrinath, you know, where he wrote all these books. In fact, he dictated all these books. And in fact, Vedavyasa is the person who actually pioneered books. There were no books previously. Everything was oral tradition. Everything was just spoken. You know, and I was just recently discussing with one of the devotees in the ashram that, you know, these days people don't use books. He wanted, I'm put up in a room up there where there is a library bookshelf. So devotees wanted some books. So I said, oh, you still use books? I thought here people are using their phones and iPads and things like that. But it's surprising that even here people use books. So I said, people now are changing. You know, even in our bookstall in our temple, the sales of books is reducing because people now just download all the books and they read it. So one devotee was saying, it's sad that people are not using the books. In one sense, it doesn't really make any difference if you read it in a format of a book, or if you read it in the format of a, you know, electronic format, or you use any other format, because ultimately the information is what is important. So previously it was in an oral format, and Vedavyasa, he actually put it in a book format. He wrote it on palm leaves. So now the format is again changing. You see, now all the books are available in electronic format, and it's easy to carry. You know, I mean, in one iPad you may have all the books. So certainly we take it for granted, but the message is that he has written, and Srila Prabhupada also has written so many books. Prabhupada said that, you know, I've spent sleepless nights writing these books, and I've sacrificed my sleep, and devotees, they're reading my books and going to sleep. How unfortunate to read. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said that distributing my books will make devotees, but reading my books will keep the devotees. So it's very important. Mahaprabhu says, Siddhanta baliya chitti nakarah alas, iha hoite krishna lage sudhrida manas. Don't be lazy. Siddhanta baliya chitti nakarah alas. Don't be lazy. Chitti nakarah alas, iha hoite krishna lage. That when you read the scripture and you analyze what happens, you become strong, your intelligence becomes strong. So we have to give up our laziness and become very enthusiastic, because there's a lot actually. It's a great gift which he has given all of us, and it's really he's really done a paropakar, it's really done a social service, the highest welfare activity. Imagine if Vedavyas would have copyrighted his material. You know, that if you are speaking, if you are using my materials, you have to pay so much royalty. Imagine how much royalty all of our ISKCON centers would have to pay. You know, on a daily basis, we are discussing so much of his work. So, that is... So, therefore, that's the highest welfare activity. You know, in the Vedic literature, in the Niti Shastras, it is explained that out all the charities that you can give, annadanam param danam, it is said, that out of all the charities, the charity of food is the best. Annadanam param danam. But then it is said, vidyadanam atah param. If you give the charity of knowledge, that is higher. Why? Because, you know, if you give knowledge to somebody, if you teach somebody spiritual, if you liberate them with knowledge, then you've fed him. You know, you've taken care of all his food requirements for his entire life. So therefore, vidya danam atha param. So therefore, what Vedavyasa has done is unprecedented in the history of humanity, having given so much. So therefore, here it is explained that in that particular millennium, Lord Sri Krishna also descended. So we are very fortunate that we are in the 28th millennium. It's a very, very rare occurrence that Lord Sri Krishna has descended in this very millennium, which is 5,000 years ago, and Mahaprabhu appeared just 500 years ago. Lord Ramachandra appeared in the 26th millennium. Millions of years ago. Millions. So, that is the history of Vyasadeva's birth. And every millennium is divided into three periods. So actually, we are in the first period of Kali Yuga. So what is being described as Shri Radha Gokulanand ki? Are you still awake or? So, you know, every yuga has got three periods, sandhyas, just like we have the morning sandhya, afternoon, and so there are three parts of the day. Yeah? So, similarly, it is said in Kali Yuga, there are three parts. So there are the Sandhya, beginning of Sandhya, then there is main day of Kali Yuga, and then the final Sandhya. So it is said 36,000 years of Kali Yuga is actually just the Sandhya period. The Kali Yuga has not really started off. And then after that, Kali begins. And then in the end, again, there is a 36,000 period where the effect of Kali again reduces. So that's how it is. Just before the day begins, you see this dawn, like twilight. So just like that, this particular episode took place in the last Sandhya of the Dwapar Yuga, which means the final part of Dwapar Yuga. So every millennium is divided into three periods, and each period is called Sandhya, and Vyasadeva appeared in the third Sandhya of that particular age. So, Vedavyas is... So it is explained that we should seek knowledge, the knowledge which he has given. That is what is important. There is a very wonderful verse in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita where it is said, नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रम इह विद्यते तत् स्वयं योग संसिद्धः कालीनात्मनि विन्दते. That there is nothing as pure as knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. So what we should be actually seeking in this world is knowledge, realization. Another Niti Shastra, it is said, I'm sorry because I'm quoting verses, you know, I'm used to that. But there is another very beautiful verse which says, Sarva dravyeshu vidyaiva dravyam ahur anuttamam. Aharhatvad, anarghatvad, akshitvad, chasarvada. It said out of all the material things that you can gather, sarva dravyeshu vidyaiva, knowledge is best. You should seek knowledge, realization. Why? Because aharhatvad, it's the most valuable thing. It's something which cannot be taken away from you. Knowledge is something which cannot be taken away from you. Like we can see in Mahabharata, the Pandavas, I mean, they were like great kings, but then they were looted. They were defeated in a gambling match, and then they were in the forests. So we see that material things can be taken away from us. So like you can see that how, say, maybe a very wealthy man who's having a lot of millions of dollars in the bank, but say he happens to forget his password, he doesn't know which bank he has deposited his money, he gets dementia, then he's on the street. You know, we take knowledge for granted, you know, actually we don't really realize that how important knowledge is if we forget who we are. Like in, you know, Hindi Bollywood movies, you know, there's a theme where a hero and a heroine is going in a car, and all of a sudden there's an accident, and the hero gets hit on his head and he forgets everything. He forgets his name, he forgets everything. So, you know, that's the end of it. And then again, you know, there is the doctor tells him that you should go and take him to those places where he used to go. You should make him meet all his friends whom he used to meet. And slowly, slowly he'll get back his memory. So also this is our process that we have forgotten actually. We have forgotten who we are. The soul has forgotten that he's actually the servant of God. He's actually the part and parcel of the Lord. And this whole process is to, you know, remind ourselves that we are actually the servant. So therefore, Krishna says that, nahi jnanena sadrisham. There is nothing so supreme as knowledge. And so therefore, it cannot be taken away from us. Knowledge is everything. If you see, if a court, Prabhupada gives an example of a court, that there's a lawyer who comes, there's a judge who comes and is passing his judgments. He just works for an hour or so in a day and he goes and he gets a very handsome salary. But in the same court, the peons, they're stamping the documents, they're compiling all the, you know, things, but then he hardly gets a basic wage. Why? Because of the knowledge, the experience that he has. So even materially speaking, we see that knowledge makes a lot of difference. So what to speak of spiritual knowledge which will award you liberation? Knowledge can award you liberation. So second thing it is said that aharhatvad, anarghatvad, akshatvad, chasarvada. And you know, you cannot, it is inexhaustible. If you distribute it, it increases. Knowledge is something, if you give, it increases. When you teach, you get more knowledge. I mean, for preparing for a class, every speaker knows that he has to know at least 3 or 4 times or at least 10 times how much you speak. So it enhances your knowledge. So therefore, akshayatvat cha sarvada. So seek knowledge. And this knowledge which is being spoken about is not it's not theoretical knowledge. You know, it's not about information that we have gathered in our head. It's actually the realization. It's jnana and vijnana. You see, it's not like, for example, like we can give you, like how many of you have had jackfruit? How many of you have eaten jackfruit? Okay, so there are some people who have not eaten jackfruit, yeah? All right, so people, you know, jackfruit, if you cut it, you see that there is like, it's a sweet inside, it's sweet in the inside, and there are also like a thread-like substances which come out, yeah? And then there is that, you know, the sticky, gluey kind of thing which comes out. So if you, the experience of eating, of extracting the jackfruit and eating jackfruit, if you have to explain it to someone, how will you do that? You have to explain it to someone who has never eaten jackfruit. How will you do that? How will you describe it? So, you know, there's a saying that it's like drinking maybe sugarcane juice through a beard of a Muslim priest. Probably that will be close, a close description of how it is to eat a jackfruit. Is it not? Drinking a sugarcane juice through the beard of a Muslim priest, probably. It's just a joke, yeah. But anyone who has eaten a jackfruit can understand that the actual experience of a jackfruit is so different from, you know, just the words. So you have to actually eat the jackfruit to understand what it feels like. So when we speak about spirit soul, we speak about loving God, and we speak about devotion. You know, we can speak about it. It's easy to do that, but it is very difficult to actually experience it, and it's different. You know, when Prabhupada said that I am not the spirit, I am not the body, I am a spirit soul. So disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they felt at some point of time, yes, Prabhupada is not the body, he's a spirit soul, but probably we are the bodies. You know, so they had no realization, but when Srila Prabhupada spoke about it, he was speaking with the realizations. So therefore, it is said that it is not important to know a lot, but it is important to follow whatever little you know. So therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddha kalena atmani vindati. That how will this realization come about? Like if you ask a drunkard or if you ask a drug addict, that why do you do this? Why do you take drugs? Why do you smoke cigarettes? Don't you know that it'll harm you? You'll get cancer or you'll get some diseases. And he will say that, I know about it. It's written on this packet. You know, every statutory warnings on each and every packet, it's written that you should not smoke cigarettes. It's injurious to health. But still they do it. So that is not the knowledge that we are talking about. You know, okay, I know it, the information. There's only information, but there's no transformation. There's no realization. So therefore, that's the difference between information and transformation. So there's information, which is separate from matter or the medium. And then beyond information is knowledge. And higher than that is realization. You see, actually, when you put it to practice. So therefore, the most important thing is the knowledge, and we are very grateful to Srila Vedavyas for having given us this wonderful philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And all of this knowledge is actually contained in the holy name and in devotional service. That's what Krishna says. Tat swayam yoga samsiddha. When you perfect yoga, when you do seva, when you do nishkam karma yoga, when you serve without any expectations, and at that time, this knowledge is automatically revealed from within your heart. Nobody has to tell you anything. It's like when you eat something, nobody has to tell us that, you know, your stomach is full, stop eating. It comes from within. You know, so just like that, when you are engaged in service without any expectations, at that time, tat swayam yoga samsiddha. And then automatically Krishna says that you will actually come to the realization that you are the spirit soul. And you are the servant of the Lord. And then you are liberated actually. Freedom from all the miseries of life. And all of this begins with the chanting of the holy names. Yeah, and just as the tree is contained in the seed. There are so many points which you discussed. But then if you say that, okay, tell me one point which contains everything. Like if you see a tree, huge tree, and you want to take that tree, you will not take the tree, you will take a seed, is it not? So similarly, the holy name is like a seed, which contains everything, all the philosophy of Vedavyas and all the realizations, and everything is contained within the holy name of the Lord. So if you simply chant with humility, with a service attitude, then we can actually come to realize the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So thank you very much for attending. I think I put you all to sleep. So, Hare Krishna. So are there any comments? Anybody wants to add something? Yeah.